So I'm going to try and give y'all 45 minutes worth of preaching in about 15. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Friend, I want you to understand something as you go about your day-to-day life, and that is this. There are no coincidences. There are no happenstance, and there are no mistakes. Everything happens for a reason. I believe with all my heart that when you are sitting there and you are preparing that coconut cream pie for Pie and Praise Tuesday at church, and your husband forgot to grab the eggs when he was at the store, and you're mad at him because now you have to stop making the cream pie and run to the store, it's not a mistake. All right? Your husband forgot those eggs for a reason, and it's not because he's an idiot, though you might think that in that moment. Your husband forgot those eggs because God Almighty is trying to bring you, somebody who understands the gospel, across the path of somebody who does not understand the gospel. And my goal tonight is that as you go about your day-to-day life, whether you find yourself at the store, in your neighborhood, at your workspace, my goal tonight is to get you to make one decision. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 in verse number 1, where Paul speaking says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." Now, friend, I know Paul doesn't put a period or a stop there. He doesn't close the book there, and I'm glad that he does not. But that phrase that I just read to you, "I declare the gospel," that is the decision I want you to make this evening. When you're finding yourself at the store, in your neighborhood, at your workspace, wherever you find yourself, God is going to somehow, some way, sometime open up a door of opportunity for you to declare the gospel to somebody. And when he does, I want you to have already decided here and now this evening that you will step through that door saying, "Yes, Lord, I declare the gospel." Now you might look at me and say, "Well, now hold up, Brother Looney, I understand God called you into the mission field, all right? But you need to understand about me that God never called me to be a missionary. God never called me to be an evangelist. God never called me to be a preacher." Now, friend, if you're in this room this evening, you can hear and understand me. I want you to know two things. Number one, if you recognize God has not called you into full-time ministry, I am very glad for you. I really am. Because, you see, being a missionary, being an evangelist, being a pastor is not for everybody. God's not going to call everybody into full-time ministry. But the second thing I need you to understand is that's not what the word declare means. To declare does not mean go be a missionary, preacher, or evangelist. To declare simply means to make very clear. And the truth of the matter is this. Somebody at some point in time came along and they made the gospel clear to you. What I want to ask of you this evening is as you go about your day-to-day life and you see God throw that door of opportunity wide open for you to make the gospel clear to somebody else, that you will step through that door saying, "Yes, Lord, I declare the gospel." Now, you see, Paul understood that there are a couple of things that the church of Corinth is going to need to understand about the gospel. And so I believe he wrote out this passage here so that the church of Corinth would understand the gospel. It would be clear enough to them that they could take this, go out into their communities in their time, and make the gospel clear. And I think if we were to look at the same passage that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, we then could take that same thing into our communities, into our neighborhoods, our workspaces, into our Walmarts and Walgreens and gas stations and wherever we find ourselves, and we can then make the gospel clear to them. And the first thing Paul really goes into making clear about the gospel is found in verse number 2, where Paul, speaking again to the Corinthian church, he says, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now that word vain there is a fun word. It means quite literally emptiness or nothing. And so what Paul just said here is, I'm going to make the gospel clear to you by which you are saved unless you believe in nothing. Now friend, I'm sure you already understand the gospel's not nothing. The gospel's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Friend, it's the only thing that makes a difference in the world. But Paul just looked at the church of Corinth. Understand that, friend. Paul didn't write the book of 1 Corinthians to the lost people at Corinth. He wrote it to the church at Corinth. People who had gathered together Sunday morning on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The same reason we are gathered here this evening. Paul looked at people just like you and me and told them that this is what changed your life unless you believe in nothing. That means, friend, it is possible for somebody to attend a church just like this one and still believe in vain, still believe in nothing. And that begs the question, friend, what does it mean to believe in nothing? And if you've ever done a study on the book of Galatians, Paul talks very extensively on what it means to believe in nothing. And friend, like I said, 45-minute message, 10 minutes. I can't go all the way into it like I would want to. But basically, the entire book of Galatians is written on one subject. And that is that there was a group of people who had found people just like you and me who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they found those people in Galatia and said, you need to believe on Jesus and keep the Ten Commandments. You need to believe on Jesus, and you need to keep our traditions. And what they were doing is they were telling the Galatians that they need to believe on Jesus and do this or do that. Believe on Jesus and believe this. And the whole book of Galatians is written because Paul wanted to make very clear that the gospel is not believe on Jesus and it is believe on Jesus only. That's the whole point of the book of Galatians. You can go study it for yourself. Paul takes the entire book to make that one point. And you see, friend, I believe that the moment you add to the gospel like that, the moment you say, believe in Jesus, and you have taken the very power of God out of the gospel and made it quite literally worthless. You've made it empty. You have made it vain. The moment you say, believe in Jesus, and you take away the power of God and make the gospel quite literally empty. And I believe that's what Paul is getting at here in 1 Corinthians when he says, unless you have believed in vain, unless you believe in a gospel that says, believe on Jesus, and. And friend, as you go out and about your daily life, you will come across many people who attend church. You'll come across many people who've heard about Jesus and, oh yes, they believe in Jesus. But they believe in Jesus and, well, I go to a good church. They believe in Jesus and I've been baptized. They believe in Jesus and, friend, you name it, they'll say anything in the book. They'll add anything they can to the gospel because that's the human nature. We have got to do something to earn our salvation. But you see, friend, the truth of the matter is you can't earn your salvation. You can't add to salvation. The only thing there is to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Nothing more and nothing less. And friend, I believe that is what Paul is making clear to the church of Corinth here and now in this passage. And I believe that as you go a stone's throw, you step out of this parking lot, you pick up one of those rocks, you throw it in any direction. You don't have to go far to find somebody who believes in Jesus. And, but here's the good part. You found them for a reason. You find yourself on that doorstep talking to this person here and now for a reason. God brought them into your life for a reason, and that door is about to throw wide open for you to declare the very power of God unto this person. And I'm asking you, friend, when God opens that door, will you step through it saying, yes, Lord, I declare the gospel. Friend, another thing Paul talks about in this passage found in verse number 3, he says, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received." I'll tell you this point, I'll tell you a story, and I will be done. Fastest message you've ever heard in your life. All right, friend? Here's what Paul said. I give you what I got. I deliver unto you, I give you that which I've received, what I've got. Friend, what do you got? You realize if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then the very power of God, the Holy Spirit Himself, resides in you. You can go out there and give them what you've got. Friend, do you realize that one of the most powerful things that the Holy Spirit has given you, that God Himself has given you, is your personal testimony? And the reason I bring that up is because when Paul went around in all of his ministry, I believe the one thing he gave out everywhere he went was his testimony. And the reason I believe that is when Paul was brought before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says, "Paul, the whole world wants you dead. Tell me why now." And Paul goes, "King Agrippa, I'm really happy I get to tell you why now." And then proceeds to tell King Agrippa his testimony. Go read it for yourself. It's Acts 26. The whole chapter, Paul stands up, says, "King Agrippa, I'm really excited I get to tell you why the world hates me, why the world wants me dead. Very simply, this is who I was before I got saved. This is what happened when I got saved. And this has been my life since I got saved." And Agrippa looks at Paul and says, "Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian." Friend, the most powerful thing God has given you is your testimony. And friend, what I want you to understand I'm talking about when I say your testimony is very simply how much God loves you. Think about it, friend. God Himself looked through time and He saw sin was going to destroy you and me in an awful place called the lake of fire and brimstone. But God said, "I love you so much, I can't stand idle while you go to hell. I can't do nothing while you spend eternity without me. I love you so much that I am going to take on human flesh. I'm going to take on the form of a servant, and I'm going to take on the punishment you deserve, and I'm going to suffer and bleed and die in your place because that's how much I love you." And not only that, friend, but He loves you so much that not even death could stop Him, but He came back from the dead. And friend, not only that, He is even now seated at the right hand of the Father with His arms wide open to this day, crying out to each and every single one of us how much He loves us. And friend, He loves us so much that He's not gonna force us to love Him back. You realize, friend, that He gives each and every single one of us the choice to choose to love Him back and gain an eternal personal relationship with Him, or we can reject Him and be separated from Him for all eternity. The choice is yours. But friend, your testimony is just a testimony of how much God loves you. And the reason I wanted to bring that out, friend, is because you have no idea when God throws that door of opportunity wide open for you to make the gospel clear to that person on that moment. Yes, it may be inconvenient for you, friend, but God has been working in their heart. God has been dealing with them. You have no idea the battle that may have been raging in that person's heart for days, weeks, or even months and years. But friend, God gave you that opportunity for a reason. And you see, friend, I told you I'd tell you that point, I'd tell you a story, and I'd be done. Here's your story. You see, there was this guy whose name is David. He was lost as a goat in a snowstorm. And he got a job working at a nuclear plant down in southern Louisiana. And there was this guy who was working there whose name is Jack. And Jack was a Christian. And Jack shared the gospel with everybody at that workspace. He would share it with them whether they liked it or not. It was so well known that Jack would share the gospel that if you've got to get to the restroom, you need to avoid Jack because he's going to make sure you hear about Jesus and get an invitation to church. That's who Jack is even to this day. He's a good friend of mine, but my name's not David, so you know the story's not about me. But you see, David and Jack, since they worked at this same place and Jack was always sharing the gospel around, somehow David and Jack became best friends. And being best friends, you can imagine, Jack shared the gospel with David a lot, and I'm sure you also imagine David ignored Jack a lot. Until one day when Jack was really pestering David about going to church, and David finally caved in and said, okay, fine, I'll go to church. Well, David goes to church. David hears the gospel. God reached down and touched David's heart, and David got saved. David went on to have 12 children, of which I am number 11. What I want you to get out of this story, friend, is not what a wonderful person I am. What I want you to get out of this story is the fact that I had the privilege of growing up in church, getting saved at a young age, surrendering to be a missionary, and going on to the other side of the world, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the country of Indonesia, all because Jack wouldn't shut up. What I want you to understand, friend, is that I have a sister, her and her husband are missionaries in Australia, all because somebody had a decision in their heart and mind that whether God gave them an opportunity or not, he's going to make sure the gospel's been declared everywhere he went. And as a direct result, there are people all over the planet who get to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, friend, I'm not asking you this evening to be a missionary, preacher, or evangelist. I am simply asking, will you be like Jack? Will you be like Paul? Will you decide here and now that as God gives you opportunity, you go